Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Coming up in just a moment, the big day is here. R.S. Andrews, our friend Dari Payro, is on the scene with us. He'll be on the air with us live as we announce the winner of our Dog Nation Invasion 2 South Bend giveaway winner. That's coming up in just a couple moments. Stick around for that. You can find out if it's you. Of course, before we get into any of that, though, I know you already know what we're talking about today. That is five-star running back Zamir White, who yesterday, in a video that you watched right here on DogNation.com on the Dog Nation Facebook page, committed to the G, so to speak. Became a member of Georgia's 2018 recruiting class. Now, I don't mind telling you that this is good for me on a couple fronts. Obviously, I'm a Georgia partisan, so I'm happy to see White in the fold for the class of 2018. It's also pretty good for business around here at Dog Nation. I won't deny that. But the other thing that I said, and I said this at the end of the video yesterday, so if you listen to us on the radio or listen to the podcast, you don't watch us on video, you may have missed this portion. But to our video audience alone, what I said was that you know, I'm happy for the listeners to Dog Nation Daily, the readers of DogNation.com, in addition to whatever happiness I may have for myself. Because I have heard from so many Georgia fans lately, and I see these comments to Jeff when he does his, you know, Wednesday night Facebook Live broadcast. I see this on my own Twitter feed, Dog Nation Daily on Twitter. I see this in our comment section here when we do Dog Nation Daily on Facebook Live. This has been a Georgia fan base incredibly hungry for some good news. Really excited about the possibility of that big breakthrough with the 2018 class. And for a while, it kind of seemed like it wasn't going to come, or at least it seemed like it was taking too long to get here. And there were a lot of Georgia fans who were obviously saying, now hold on, be patient, everything's going to be fine. Hold on, be patient, everything's going to be fine. We heard a lot of that over and over again, but patience is not an easy thing for college football fans to have for a while. At least it's not easy to get that thing to last for very long. At a certain point in time, impatience is just sort of the reigning attitude of many college football fans. But patience for Georgia fans has paid off. Zamir White is in the fold, and the announcement was going to be good news for Georgia no matter when it came, no matter how it came. But one of the things I think has been really interesting in hearing from a lot of Georgia fans over the last 24 hours is they were kind of impressed with the way that Zamir White made his announcement. They were impressed with what that kind of lets you know about Zamir White in terms of how he goes about his business. The one word I've heard a lot on social media is humility, kind of a team first guy, a guy not looking to seek the spotlight for himself individually. And it's worth pointing out that when Jeff Sintel joined us yesterday on Dog Nation Daily, that humble spirit from Zamir White, that's something that Jeff Sintel has also noticed. Take a listen.
Zamir is the guy that doesn't dance around, very purposeful young man. I mean, the guy rips through like three or four pairs of cleats every season because he puts so much torque with his start and stop moves on his game day cleats. One of his teammates was kind of half joking with me when he told me that he drinks horse oil, and that's how he maintains his stride and his speed. Doesn't have an egotistical bone in his body.
Yeah, so listen, I love that. I'm going to use a big word here, probably fancier of a word than I should be using, juxtaposition. I love the juxtaposition there, the contrast between a guy who doesn't have an arrogant bone in his body, completely humble, with the guy that also creates the kind of urban legends of, hey, this guy drinks horse oil. Now, I have no idea what horse oil even is, but that's the kind of, you know, sort of legend that Zamir White has built for himself. He rips through pairs of cleats because he has so much torque when he runs, and if you're watching us on Facebook Live right now, we've been showing some of those highlights from Zamir up there in Laurinburg, North Carolina. And even if it's sort of hard to believe that someone could rip through a pair of cleats during a high school football game, when you see Zamir White doing his running, it makes it seem a little more likely that that could maybe be possible. But it is that really humorous contrast. All these moments on a field that create such a legend for a player, and yet seemingly none of that goes to his head. Jeff Sintel was just talking about that. We also saw some of that from Zamir himself yesterday on the Facebook Live video that you watched right here on the Dog Nation Facebook page. Now, Zamir is kind of a soft-spoken guy, so it's a little bit hard to, you know, hear what he has to say here, but he's called up on the stage for his big moment, and really the only thing that he had to say on his big day, in his big moment, was taking a time and an opportunity to thank other people. He thanks God. He thanks his family. He thanks his friends and classmates and teammates there at Scotland County High School. And then you'll hear him say, and that's it. It's almost like, you know, the old line from the cartoon, that's all, folks. I mean, that's all he had to say. That's all he wanted to say. With the world watching, his only message was a message of thanks to other people, including God. Here's Zamir White from yesterday.
At this time, I would like to introduce Zamir White to say a few words.
Man. A long, real long 2 years, man. Well, first, I thank God first, my family, y'all, folks for just being here, caring for me, being with me through the way. And second of all, I would like to thank the school staff for helping me out for this, because, yeah. That's it. Yeah. Thank y'all though for coming out here.
Yeah, so listen, it's the it's all the thank yous, and that's it, and then he's done. And, you know, it's funny, we were in this studio watching this announcement yesterday, and I was here with Jim and Michael, a couple of the guys that work with me on Dog Nation Daily. And after that moment when Zamir offered his thank yous, he then walks over to the table where the hats were all laid out, and all the hats you would have expected were there, Georgia and Ohio State and Alabama, Clemson, North Carolina. I guess those were the five that were there. And he puts on the Georgia hat. And so many of you in the comment section had already said, oh, he had the nice black sort of tux-looking suit on. Obviously, the black Georgia hat was going to match that perfectly. Some of you kind of sniffed this out already. But when he put the hat on, some of the guys in the room were kind of like me. We've seen so many of these things go a different direction before, we started to wonder, okay, does this mean that he's going to now take this hat off and put a different one on? We see these kind of swerves from time to time. We see these kind of, sort of plays to the crowd from time to time. But that's not Zamir White's personality. Once he put that Georgia hat on, he wasn't taking it off. And his only punctuation in terms of words was to say this to the crowd. And if you can't make out what he's saying there, he gives a Dog Nation baby, which is absolutely what Georgia fans were looking to hear, and a terrific way to capitalize what was a great moment for Georgia football with the commitment of Zamir White yesterday. And, of course, here in the media world that I live in, we can't stay in that moment for too long. We have to start to wonder, okay, what is next? What comes next for Georgia now that Zamir White's in the fold? Well, some of that will be more recruits. We'll obviously talk a lot about that in the days ahead. But how about what's next for Zamir personally when he gets here to Georgia in 2018? To that point, I thought that Chris Johnson from SI.com had an interesting write-up, and there was a lot of this national media stuff yesterday. A lot of national media sites praising Georgia for how it acquired White, praising Georgia for the work that it had done on the recruiting trail. But in the midst of some of that, I thought that Chris Johnson had a really interesting point to make. He compared Zamir White to another North Carolina running back that was very good at Georgia, Todd Gurley, who had a dominant freshman season. And what Chris Johnson writes in his piece at SI.com is that a Gurley like true freshman campaign, where you had 1,385 yards, 7.3 yards per carry, and 17 touchdowns, is a pie-in-the-sky expectation for White. In other words, it's not likely to come true. But even if he falls short of an instant impact, Chris Johnson says, of that magnitude, White should still figure prominently in Georgia's plans to replace Chubb and Michelle. The last part I completely agree with. Once you get to 2018, there's no reason to think that Zamir White won't be a prominent part of the replacement for Chubb and Michelle. And as far as the comparison to Todd Gurley goes, frankly, those numbers are astounding for Gurley in his freshman season. But I wouldn't write off Zamir White just yet. Take a look around college football last year. Saw a good number of freshman running backs have very good seasons. As I talked about yesterday, Florida State's going to lean heavily on Cam Akers coming up this year as well in 2017. This is an era when freshman running backs are asked to step in and play well right away. Zamir White seems certainly equal to that task in 2018 and beyond. The bottom line on all of this, though, is a huge win for Georgia in recruiting yesterday, and Georgia fans are justifiably excited here today. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Thanks so much for making Dog Nation your home for all the Zamir White news here over the last 24 hours or so. Loved watching it along with you on Facebook Live yesterday. Certainly appreciate you being with us here today on Facebook Live. By the way, we do air this show each and every morning at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page on Facebook Live. We're also on the radio every day at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We appreciate you being with us for that. And, of course, in podcast form, iTunes, SoundCloud. We post the show at DogNation.com. Wherever you find podcasts, you can find us here on Dog Nation Daily. We appreciate you doing that. Now, without further ado, as promised, I want to get ready to welcome in my good friend Dari Payro from our friends at R.S. Andrews. Of course, R.S. Andrews has been bringing the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to you. It's been there for you at DogNation.com. Many thousands of you have signed up for this, and now you are waiting with bated breath to find out if you were the winner. Well, coming up in just a moment, we're going to give you a chance to actually find that out. We'll also find out a little more about our friends at R.S. Andrews, who have been just a great friend of Dog Nation, a great sponsor for our big trip to South Bend. And with that, we'll get ready to say hello to Dari Payro right now. He is the president of R.S. Andrews. He's one of the folks responsible for providing the R.S. Andrews Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to you. And first of all, Dari, let me say hello to you and welcome to Dog Nation Daily. It's great to have you with us. You and I are talking off the air. You were already planning on going to South Bend for this before we even had the R.S. Andrews Dog Nation Invasion giveaway. This was already a trip that you were looking forward to, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Myself and a lot of our friends have been planning this for a couple years, so very excited for the game and that weekend, as well as it was great to be able to offer a package and giveaway to all the fans out there to have this experience.
Absolutely. And, you know, for me, this is one of those things that I feel like Georgia needs to be doing more of this kind of stuff, right? When you go out and play a high-profile opponent like this, we were talking about this a little bit off the air, it just gives you a chance to have such a springboard for your program, such an opportunity to make a big name for yourself when you do something like this on the national stage. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're so excited about going on this trip, is because it's the kind of game we'd like to see Georgia playing a lot more of, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is you know, something that Georgia hasn't done a lot in the past as far as having a big out-of-conference, high-profile opponent. So definitely looking forward to it. Second time playing Notre Dame ever. It's very exciting.
You're exactly right about that. I mean, it's that kind of high-profile opponent that gives you a chance to do that. And, of course, R.S. Andrews, you know, we've been talking about R.S. Andrews on the show here for a while, Dari, and I think the one thing that we'll all admit in our life is at times we think about a company like R.S. Andrews when the air conditioning goes out, you know, this time of year in the very hot summer. But I think one of the things that people would probably do well with when it comes to R.S. Andrews is to also think about that when it comes to maybe getting service, right, before it goes out, before you have that problem maybe on the hottest day of the summer. Maybe think about R.S. Andrews to kind of come out and take care of that service for your needs. That's probably a good time and a good opportunity for people to be thinking about R.S. Andrews, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you definitely want to have your systems maintained so they're in optimal performance, so that way they don't fail at the hottest, you know, peakest time of the season when it's very busy and very hot and very uncomfortable in the house. So maintenance is very important. That's something we do, and we try to promote to all our clients and everyone out there.
And, of course, the R.S. Andrews company, I'm interested to find this out. It's actually been in your family for quite some time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, myself and my brother-in-law own the business, and we'll have it for a long time to come, and it may come down to our kids, you know, in the future.
And, of course, I know we're going to announce the winner in just a moment, but for the people who don't win this award, don't win this prize, you've also got a great offer right now at R.S. Andrews as well.
Absolutely. So for everyone out there, you know, that you know, didn't win this giveaway, we do have an offer from now through the end of July here in 2017. We're going to be giving away 2 years for the price of one maintenance plans. So tremendous value, a couple $100 in savings. All they have to do is call R.S. Andrews and mention promo code Dog Nation, and they'll be able to take advantage of that offer.
Okay, so that's for the folks who didn't win, but how about for the person who did win? We've had the drawing off the air here. We'll take the winner right now, have a chance to announce that live on the air here on Dog Nation Daily. And the winner of our R.S. Andrews Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to South Bend, going with us on the trip this September, is Russell Shanker from Suwanee, Georgia. Russell, congratulations to you. You are the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway winner. We'll be contacting you, letting you know all about that. And, of course, you can find out more about R.S. Andrews as well online at rsandrews.com.
Appreciate it.
Dari, it's great to have you with us on the program. We appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to being with you in South Bend and look forward to a lot more fun with R.S. Andrews here on Dog Nation Daily in the days ahead.
Absolutely.
Good stuff there from Dari Payro from R.S. Andrews. We appreciate them being with us and looking forward to being with all of you there on the Dog Nation Invasion giveaway as we head up to South Bend. And by the way, we certainly appreciate R.S. Andrews being a part of that. I know that so many of you were hoping for an opportunity to get to go on the trip, and certainly R.S. Andrews giving you a chance to provide that giveaway opportunity is a great coup there, so we certainly appreciate that. We're going to get ready to welcome in Benjamin Wolk, our good friend, recruiting analyst and expert. And we'll say hello to Benjamin Wolk here, who is always a good friend of Dog Nation Daily and always very patient with us as well when we have the occasional technical difficulty. Ben, thanks for your time today. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, so let me talk about the big news of the day here, and that is the fact that Zamir White's in the fold for Georgia. And, you know, one of the things that we said before you joined us on the show was the reaction I got from a lot of Georgia fans was about the humility that White showed. You know, not going into, like, the really elaborate recruiting ceremony, essentially said a few words, put the Georgia hat on, shouted out Dog Nation, that was basically the end of it all. Now, of course, we would all also probably admit that if he had ridden in on a chariot being, you know, pulled by giraffes, most Georgia fans would have been fine with that too, but they really seemed to like the humility that White showed. I mean, how do you assess his personality, both in terms of how he's handled the recruiting maybe a little different than some people would, and also maybe what that sort of projects for him in terms of how he handled college life?
Yeah, he does seem a little bit different. I mean, you know, he's very quiet. I mean, just throughout the entire recruiting process, he didn't talk to the media very much. And even yesterday after he committed, he said that he was shutting down his interviews. And I know he spoke with, you know, Dog Nation's Jeff Sintel. But even when he spoke with Jeff, it seemed like he was a little bit quieter than most guys really are. You know, I think that that generally is a good sign, because especially when you're the number one running back in the nation, I think that that means that you're just a driven guy. And, you know, he's focused on football. That's what he does. He lives and breathes football, and he's really, really good at it. And, you know, that's why Georgia is getting one of, if not the top offensive prospect in the country, really, in my mind. I mean, I know that there's some really good quarterbacks out there in this class, but I mean, all you got to do is watch the tape or talk to some high school coaches in the state of North Carolina to know that you're not going to find a prospect much better than Zamir White, doesn't matter what recruiting class you're in.
So I think what's probably going on with Zamir White is, and obviously I have no idea what it feels like to be a five-star running back, but that's kind of the point. You know, I assume that, you know, I came from a small town. If I was a talented football player the way he was, I sort of assumed that I'd be just sort of lapping up the spotlight and finding a way to do as many interviews as I could and find a way to get into media as much as I possibly could. But the truth is, the way that Zamir White's probably handling this is probably a lot more reflective of how someone actually handles that moment when he's sort of, pulled from a small town and sort of thrust into the spotlight with no idea, no way of knowing kind of how to recalibrate that sort of newness of your life. I mean, I think that the way that Zamir White is handling this is probably the way that a lot of people actually would handle this in real life if they kind of had this sort of odd set of circumstances befall them.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, if you really look at, another smaller town guy who big-time running back and went to Georgia, Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, at least when he got in, he was very similar. I think he sort of started to open up a little bit now that he's been in college for a few years. But, I mean, when he got in, he was very much the same way. I just want to play football. I want to work out. I want to run for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns. And I really don't want to have to mess with the real, you know, extracurricular stuff that goes along with being one of the best football players in the country. I mean, I think it's something that obviously when you got the media talking to you every single day, it's something that he'll probably need to start opening up with a little bit. But, you know, I think you're right. I think there is sort of that small town, big prospect personality that probably makes you a little bit quieter. And then also, you know, every prospect is different. It has a lot to do with who your parents are, who your coaches are, sort of what your mentors are telling you. And, you know, it seems like Zamir White's got, you know, everyone around him seems to be telling him the right things, and he's just, he really is, seems like he's as humble as they come.
See, I'm glad that you're here today, because I tried to make the Nick Chubb, Zamir White comparison with Jeff yesterday, and Jeff wanted to do more of the Todd Gurley thing, and I get where that comes from, but I think that you're right, that to me the Nick Chubb comparison feels a little more appropriate. And I'll go back to the North Carolina game, and Ben, I know that you were on the road probably covering Auburn that day. I don't know if you saw Nick Chubb's post-game comments, but you know, Chubb had been told by an ESPN analyst that that week that he wasn't going to be the best running back in the game. People didn't know if he was healthy enough to play. He kind of steps back on the field and, you know, lights the Georgia Dome on fire, essentially. He kind of comes into the media room. There's a little bit more fanfare because it's a one of those neutral site sponsorship type deals, and so there's a little bit more media attention paid to him. And given a chance, kind of brag to the world about he's back and he's going to take, you know, the sport back over again, he basically demurred all of that. And so when I heard Nick Chubb talk after the North Carolina game last year, it really did sound to me a lot like what Zamir White sounded like yesterday somewhat.
Absolutely, I agree. And it's easy to draw the Todd Gurley comparisons just because, you know, one of Georgia's best running backs ever from the state of North Carolina. Now you're getting, you know, another one of the opportunity to be one of Georgia's best running backs ever. And, you know, he's also from the state of North Carolina. But I think if for personality fit, I really do think that Zamir White and Nick Chubb probably draw some more comparisons than Todd Gurley. Now, if you're talking about production or just the buzz around the fan base, now, obviously, Todd Gurley didn't have that much buzz coming in. That was something that he really generated week one of his freshman year, or really leading up to that, I guess. In terms of buzz, again, I mean, Nick Chubb was a guy who came in with a ton of buzz, and Zamir White's going to be the same way. It is very interesting. I'm glad you brought it up because it's not something that I'd really thought about, you know, comparing the two of them in terms of personality fit. But, you know, I think that it can go a lot of different ways. I think that you can have that sort of cockier type of guy who can also excel. But also I think that, you know, the humility can carry you a long way as well.
Let me make another quick comparison, if you don't mind. And that is, and I've used this comparison a couple times, that's Cam Akers. You know, Akers was a five-star running back last year. He goes to Florida State, and every impression that I've gotten is he's the featured back for Florida State this season. When they play Alabama in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the first game of the season, I would assume that Akers, whenever Florida State runs the ball, I would assume that Akers is probably going to get the first carry. And I don't think that's an unfair projection to make for Zamir White as well. You know, Georgia's a big-time program, deep stable of running backs. I assume that Florida State's probably got a lot of good running backs too. Obviously, Dalvin Cook's gone to the NFL. But, you know, my assumption is that, you know, Zamir White could feature just as promptly in Georgia's 2018 offense as Cam Akers is going to figure into Florida State's 2017 offense.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's funny that you bring up Akers because when I've talked with scouts or, you know, national analysts or anything like that, I mean, whenever they talk about the best running backs over the last 4 or 5 years, the three guys they really bring up are Cam Akers and Najee Harris from the last recruiting class and Zamir White. They just say that those three guys really are kind of in a league of their own among running backs. And I think you can. I mean, I agree that Cam Akers is someone that you throw in right away and he plays immediately. I agree, and I also think that Zamir White has an opportunity right away in 2018 to play with Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb leaving. Obviously, Georgia has they've got some players now at running back behind those guys, Brian Harrien, Elijah Holyfield, DeAndre Swift, who can make plays. But, I mean, I don't think there's any question that Zamir White, just look at the tape. Look at what people around him, the way that they talk about him. I mean, I don't think there's any question that he plans on coming into Georgia to be that guy. And he can't, I mean, he said yesterday a big reason why he picked Georgia over Alabama or ultimately Ohio State or some of the other schools that he was considering, you know, was because he did see that early opportunity to get on the field and play right away. Now, part of that is just because of the way Georgia plays. Georgia's not afraid to hand the ball off to, you know, 3 or 4 running backs in a game and get everyone, you know, a good dose of carries. I think that Zamir White will step on campus, he'll early enroll, which will be great. And then once he gets on campus, I think the sky is really the limit for him.
All right, let's talk about quarterbacks here for a minute, if you don't mind. You're obviously on the Auburn recruiting beat. That means you've spent a lot of time watching Justin Fields. Auburn's been one of the schools in the mix for him. But it seems like lately Georgia has made up a lot of ground with Fields. At least that's the impression that I'm getting. And there's a part of me, Ben, that doesn't completely understand this. I mean, certainly the listeners to Dog Nation Daily are happy to hear that, but I sort of assume that Fields was going to focus all of his attention on quarterback rooms that were maybe a little less crowded than the Georgia one is. Auburn, assuming that Sidham goes on the NFL, would be an example of that. Certainly Florida's an example of that because even if, you know, Malik Zaire comes back for another year, I'm just not sure how good he really is, and I think the writing's on the wall for Felipe Franks. Those are a couple opportunities where Fields could really kind of step in. LSU, you don't hear as much about them, but they're also a program kind of like that. Why is it that Georgia seems to be making up ground for Fields, despite the fact that Georgia's already got a sort of a deeper roster of quarterbacks than most of his other suitors have?
You know, I really think it's a testament to what Georgia is doing under this new coaching regime. I mean, you look at the sort of some of the murmurs, and I think that we even talked about this at one point on your podcast earlier in the year, that there were some concerns at some point with the 2018 class. What's going on? Why is Georgia, you know, down below the 70 mark when they just had a top three class? And now that Zamir White commits and you're starting to hear some positive things about Tamari Sawyer and Trey Hill and Trey Dean, Kiaris Jackson, plenty of other guys, and obviously now Justin Fields as well, I think you're starting to see that the Georgia coaching staff probably found some of those talking points a little bit laughable at times. I mean, I think they really feel strongly about the groundwork they're setting with all of these guys, and I think that's something truly special. I mean, we talked about it a lot in the last recruiting cycle when they finished top three and they're pulling guys from Philadelphia and Brooklyn and all over the place, that there's something special brewing in Athens right now with recruiting. And I know that a lot of people were talking about the 2017 class and the 2019 class, and that the 2018 might be a little bit of a, you know, just got to get over the hump and make sure that you get to 2019. It can be a really strong class. But I think, I mean, especially after the Zamir White thing, and as you mentioned, things seem to be trending in a very positive direction for Georgia with Justin Fields. I mean, if you land those two guys this summer, I mean, what's stopping Georgia from having a top five recruiting class in this cycle? I mean, I really don't know if there is anything stopping them.
Oh, I think you're exactly right about that. I think a quarterback changes everything in a way that's probably different than Zamir White. I'm sure we've talked about this before. You know, White, because he does have the humble personality, may not have the gravitational pull that a five-star quarterback would have. I mean, I think the board is completely changed for any program that gets one of these available five-star quarterbacks. That includes probably Florida too, Auburn as well. Once you bring in the quarterback, I think the assumption is you're going to impact your roster for a couple recruiting cycles. 2019 wide receivers paying attention to that. 2018 guys kind of on the fence. All of a sudden, you know, the school, let's say it is Georgia, that gets a player like that, looks a little sexier. I just think the quarterback just changes the calculus as much as you can imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, and Justin Fields especially, he just seems to be a guy that, I mean, I think that all top quarterbacks, I think you saw it a little bit with Trevor Lawrence as well, with Clemson, you saw them, you know, they've had a really, really strong last 6-7 months, you know, since Trevor Lawrence committed, Clemson has been on a hot streak. And I think that Justin Fields sort of has that transcendent personality and skill set about him as well, that other recruits, when they see Justin Fields choose a school, whatever school that ends up being, that school is going to benefit unbelievably just because of the sort of gravitational pull that Justin Fields has on other recruits.
I want to ask you about Matt Corral in a minute before we let you go. Before that, let me squeeze in one thing on Justin Fields. Separate fact from fiction for me on this, and I've asked a lot of people about this because I'm really trying to, you know, make sense of this myself. At one point in time, it seems like there was a big gap between, you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, between Lawrence and Justin Fields. So much so that apparently Georgia was solely focusing on Lawrence for a while and only turned its attention to Fields after Lawrence chose Clemson. Now that gap seems to have closed somewhat, at least for some analysts. Is this just a perception of Fields that's changed, or is he a little bit like a guy like, say, Jaren Williams, who's just gotten better as a player to the point where analysts are forced to reevaluate him now?
You know, I think it's probably a combination of both. I mean, I think that he was probably always better than people were giving him credit for, but I also think that he's probably used a lot of that, hey, Trevor Lawrence is significantly better than you, as motivation to really fine-tune his own game. I mean, I know that, you know, at the beginning of last year, he was a solid prospect. And I talked to a coach from North Cobb when they were playing them last year. And he said that going into that game last year, he said that he'd been coaching in the state of Georgia for 20 years. And that Justin Fields going into that game was the best high school quarterback prospect that he'd seen. And so it's not something that's just happened, you know, immediately. I mean, he's definitely been a top prospect for a while, no matter what his ranking said. I definitely think he's closed the gap on Trevor Lawrence, and that's not a knock on Trevor Lawrence, because I mean, I saw him at the Corky Kell 7-on-7 a few weeks ago, and it seemed like every pass he threw was a touchdown. So, I mean, it's not to say that Trevor Lawrence isn't, a generational prospect in his own right. But I just think that Justin Fields has really shown people, and obviously they offer different skill sets. Justin can, use the legs a little bit more than Trevor can. But, I mean, I think that Justin has just really surprised people with what he's able to do as a passer. And I think that really has – it's probably not going to totally close the gap between 1 and 2 among quarterbacks. But, I mean, to me, it's a 1A, 1B kind of thing.
Let me quickly squeeze in a final question on Matt Corral. And I hope I'm not butchering the Coral Corral thing. I'm honestly not sure if it's Coral or Corral, but whichever way you say it. So, five-star quarterback decommits from USC, visited Georgia, I guess, in April, the reports are. When he decommits from USC, Georgia's one of the schools that's mentioned. How real do you think the relationship between this quarterback and Georgia is?
I've got to say that's pretty real. I mean, to be a guy that's from, the West Coast, be committed to USC and on your own dime fly out to Athens, Georgia for a visit. I mean, it wasn't like he was doing a, whole all around the Southeast tour. Like, he just wanted to go to Athens. And I think that that's a very real thing. Now, his decommitment comes at an interesting time because obviously I think that much like there was a point in time that Georgia was kind of all in on Trevor Lawrence, it feels like they're, all in on Justin Fields right now. So, I mean, I think that it's possible that you run the risk of 2 times in this recruiting cycle, swinging for one specific five-star quarterback and, as a result, missing on another. Mm-hmm. But I do feel that, Georgia probably knows what kind of position they're in with Justin Fields, and so I think that they'll probably smartly play the game. I mean, it seems like it's a win-win. No matter what happens, it seems like Georgia could land a five-star quarterback. But I truly believe that, the buzz with Matt Corral, and I think it's Corral, I think the
now I've got you second guessing yourself.
Yeah, I've been saying Corral. I had never even thought that it would be Coral. I just have been saying Corral all along. So you might make me reconsider things. But I think that it's very real. I mean, I you don't hear very often about a five-star quarterback committed to USC flying out to Athens, Georgia, because he wants to see Georgia and wants to see an SEC program. I mean, I know that I've heard some murmurs about Florida and Alabama as well, but it sounds to me like Georgia is the place that he'd like to be if they'll have him.
Well, listen, Benjamin, we appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily. You're doing a great job at SECCountry.com. I hope people will check you out there. Obviously, there's a lot of overlap between Georgia and Auburn recruiting stories, and you certainly provide a lot of information on that, useful to UGA fans. Thanks for your time. We'll look forward to talking to you here on Dog Nation Daily again very soon.
Absolutely, Brandon. Thanks again.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
All right, SEC Through begins right now. Make sure you check us out on SEC Country Live today. We'll, of course, do that with you at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And, one of the things we talked about on the show yesterday, one of the things we'll talk about, I'm sure, today, is the fact that Florida has won the College World Series final. Listen, I'm going to be just as honest with you as I was on SEC Country Live yesterday. I was obviously rooting against Florida in this, this baseball deal. I'm not that even big of a college baseball fan. But if Florida's playing, I'm cheering against them. In this case, certainly I was rooting against Florida to win this. And then, you have the added issue here of, and I'm going to try to stir the pot of controversy on this today just to be spiteful, but, you had the bad call that probably goes against LSU in game one. You have the other bad call that goes against LSU last night. For those of you that watched the game, you got the LSU player sliding in the second. It's a double play. Run would have scored for LSU. They disallowed the run being scored because they said that the player sliding in the second, even though he was already out, he tried to collide with the, I forget if it was the second baseman, the shortstop, whichever guy it was for Florida. He tried to collide with him. That was too violent of a slide, and they disallowed the run being scored. Now, I don't like this for two reasons. First of all, I think that's a very good rule for baseball. But in general, this feels like moving sports in the direction that I kind of don't really want it to go. I don't like the way that the physical part of the game is being completely taken out of football, and I don't like completely taking out the physical part of baseball as well. Now, baseball is a much less physical sport than football is, but I don't like the notion that, hey, you want to score a run, you can't collide with the catcher anymore. You want to make a hard slide to second base, you don't give the second baseman, the shortstop, anything to think about anymore. I mean, at a certain point in time, what are we doing? And I'm all for protecting player safety, but that's not what this is about. The targeting call in football, the sliding rule in baseball, this is not about protecting player safety. There are a lot of ways that can be accomplished. What this is about is appeasing lawyers. I don't want lawyers as the boss of college sports. But for the most part, fear of litigation has taken over the way that college football is governed. It seems like probably the same thing's happening here in baseball as well. And listen, I don't want to sound like, you know, some sort of caveman Neanderthal here. I mean, I want reasonable efforts to be taken to protect player safety. But what's happening in sports right now, including the baseball game last night, seems to be veering away from what I would call reasonable and kind of getting into sort of a hysterical overreaction based on the faintest fear of a lawyer stepping in and trying to provide some sort of lawsuit. That's the wrong direction for college sports. Hate to see baseball moving the same spot that football is on that. But in honor of Florida's win, it seems like an appropriate time to do our Gator Hater Countdown. 121 days from now, Georgia's going to beat Florida. It's our Gator Hater Countdown. And, of course, we believe that if you're like us and a Gator hater first and foremost, if you think that's what Georgia fans are supposed to be, then the best way for you to show that is go to shopdognation.com. Get your very own Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater T-shirt. We got, you know, the Gator Hater license plate on the front, the Dog Nation Daily logo on the sleeve. It's all there for you. It's at shopdognation.com. We'll give you free shipping on that. Now, speaking of Florida for a moment, I saw where Steve Spurrier was on the Feinbaum show yesterday, and no surprise here, Spurrier picks Florida to win the SEC East. And, you know, my beef here with Spurrier is not that he picked Florida. I mean, obviously, the former Florida coach is going to pick Florida to win the East. I think the point I'd want to make here, though, is if you're a South Carolina fan, how do you feel about all this? I mean, ever since Spurrier walked away from the Gamecocks job, he's essentially re-embraced Florida sort of full-throatedly, full-heartedly. And if you're a South Carolina fan, I mean, yeah, he gave you some wins, gave you a division title. He probably otherwise wouldn't have gotten that. But you also gave this guy a nice, really cushy job for him to sort of ride off into retirement on. And if you think Spurrier was giving South Carolina 100% effort those final couple years with the Gamecocks, you're fooling yourself. The recruiting shows that. They were playing walk-ons on defense. They had a mess of a roster. Most of that attributed to the fact that South Carolina just wasn't recruiting very well under Steve Spurrier. And Spurrier, in his sort of post-coaching career, never seems to throw South Carolina a bone. He's like Mr. Florida all of a sudden once again. He essentially turned the South Carolina coaching job into being like the greeter at a Walmart, like the last job you have before you retire, and very little in the way of public thank yous seemingly towards the Gamecocks for that. So South Carolina picking Florida, that seems to be his new home. I know he's back there kind of, I guess, sort of unofficially on staff there once again. But if you're a Gamecock, you can't like that very much. I did think this was interesting. CBS Sports has ranked its coaching jobs in the SEC. Now, not the job the coaches are doing, but the job that the coaches have. And Alabama, as you would probably expect, is number one on this list. LSU comes at number two. Georgia comes at number three, a spot ahead of Florida. Now, as the writer Tom Fornelli kind of pointed out in the piece that he wrote, he was sure that Florida fans were probably going to have a bit of a problem with that. Florida's, after all, won national championship with two different coaches. Why would Georgia have more resources than Florida does? And while I understand why the Gators fans would probably sort of cling to history on this, and you have to acknowledge that, the Florida program has done more with its resources than Georgia has done with its. There's no real denying that. I also don't think it's that big of a stretch to make Georgia as a job better than Florida. I mean, we've seen the population growth in this state over the last couple decades, and what that's done to the overall talent numbers for the high school football prospects, it's skyrocketed. You see the guys in the NFL from the state of Georgia, for instance. They are proof of that. Plus the money that's coming into the two programs. Now, for whatever reason, both Florida and Georgia have been programs at times that have maybe not spent all the money they could have spent. Maybe that's a philosophical thread that sort of unites Greg McGarrity, Georgia's current AD, to his old boss, the old AD at Florida, Jeremy Foley. But nonetheless, I don't think it's blasphemous to rank the Georgia job ahead of Florida. But now, the job for Georgia is to kind of go out there and do something with those resources. For Kirby Smart, who has that job that Tom Fornelli calls the third best in the SEC, how about you use that to bring Georgia the championship that so many Georgia fans think is long overdue. We'll see if that happens, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, as we wrap up here today, I want to give you a program note. First of all, thank you so much to Dari Payro for being with us, our R.S. Andrews Dog Nation Invasion giveaway winner. Congratulations to our winner on that, Russell Shanker from Swanee, Georgia. Russell will be in contact with you to let you know about all of that. And of course, make sure you check out rsandrews.com for the terrific offer they have for Georgia fans who did not win our Dog Nation Invasion giveaway to South Bend. Of course, we're looking forward to that trip. Something else we are looking forward to, and I want to make sure that you know to check out DogNation.com in the next couple days. As Jeff Sintel said when he joined us yesterday, he was leaving Laurinburg, North Carolina, quickly racing to get to a plane to get out to Oregon for the opening. That's going to be taking place here over the course of the next few days. Really closely watching the quarterbacks. The Elite 11 going to be there. That means Matt Corral. That means Justin Fields. And kind of seeing what's next for UGA recruiting. Jeff's got all that for you coming up at DogNation.com the next few days. Hope you'll check that out. And we'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.